This is Drumkun. I have a question. What are the origins of the attention economy? We know a lot of the highlights of the attention economy. I'm not proud to mention these highlights, but for the purposes of this conversation, I am obliged to mention some of the highlights. For example, last year, I think it was a young lady, a musician called Miley Cyrus. She posted on Instagram a picture with her nipples basically showing, and that became an instant news sensation, and it quote unquote broke the internet and became a whole subject. You know, tabloids picked it up, serious newspapers picked it up, the whole internet was ablaze with a picture of Miley Cyrus' nipple. And these are some of the highlights of the attention economy. Another of the highlights is a couple of years back when Kim Kardashian, the wife of Kanye West, who also has the most watched porn video in history, according to statistics, and she posted a cover magazine with a picture of her buttocks, and with the headlines, Kim Kardashian breaks the internet. And the thing went so viral, it became, even was given an award, can you imagine, for breaking the internet. And these are some of the highlights. Another highlight, maybe not so glamorous, was a young lady. I think she's a sex worker. She's called the Grimiest, or she had an account on Twitter, something like that. But the thing came out in the newspapers, you know, I'm talking serious newspapers. This was top front news, you know. She leaked the toilet seat in an aeroplane, and she was filming herself leaking. You know, in the toilet seat is one of the most germiest places, especially in an aeroplane. And this was before COVID-19. But she put up this video of her, and that video is still on the internet. And she became an instant sensation for licking a toilet seat with her tongue, you know, where all these passengers and people come and do all kinds of things there. I mean, you can imagine how dirty and disgusting it is. So, I've mentioned three examples that, frankly speaking, have broke the internet, meaning this is the epitome of the attention economy, as in people, how low and can people get to drive those likes, those, you know, that attention that people are willing to do. It's a race to the bottom, as in the more depraved content you put out, maybe the more likely it's going to get some, you know, attention at likes. So what is more debased and depraved? It appeals to the primal fallen human nature, and that's likely to get more clicks and likes, you know, than real news. Like, you know, there are many children, you know, who are suffering. There are people who are genuinely poor, with, you know, they're starving. I mean, there's a lot of things that could actually be really covered and get a lot of attention. But no, that is not, you know, what generates, you know, this breaking the internet, this being trending. So what are the origins? I've mentioned some of the highlights. I've mentioned three case studies. One, Miley Cyrus. Two, Kim Kardashian. Three, the young lady Grimiest. And you can see that all of them appeal to the prurient interest. That is the primal, just raw, human nature that appeals to that, you know, the things, you know, people want to see depraved things, you know. And so depravity basically is like a trendsetter, you know, it's in the attention economy. I find that to be truly, frankly, disgusting. But what are the origins of the attention economy? Are the origins the invention of the internet, the World Wide Web, as we call it? Are the origins from the 1800s? Some would argue that tabloid journalism, sensationalism, this sort of news was invented in New York City when they were selling what we call the penny magazines, where the news was just, you know, more clickbait, as you might say, you know, and they were selling them for so cheap, but they were making money on advertisers because many people wanted that salacious news and that kind of depraved things they would write about, prostitutes who were beheaded or killed and stabbed and set on fire, you know, with such detail and gory details about the whole thing. And people liked it and they bought those, you know, so there was a competition about who's going to get the more depraved news. And that was in the 1800s in New York City, you know, when this tabloid journalism, some might say, was invented. But then even if we go a little back, you know, not in the 1800s, but a little bit into antiquity, you will find that there was an attention economy, but, you know, the attention was usually focused on, you know, temples like the temples of Aphrodite and their rituals and their rites, you know, Bacchanalia, temples of Bacchus. There were people doing all these festivals called Bacchanalia, you know, and having orgies and mass orgies and, you know, all sorts of crazy things, you know. And it was almost, it was done in a quote-unquote religious sense, but it was just a depraved contact that, you know, grabbed the attention of a lot of people. I mean, this is where a lot of these carnivals, you know, the tradition of carnivals usually come from, a lot of these traditions, occult traditions, in those, you know, like I mentioned, temples of Aphrodite, temples of Bacchanalia. I mean, in the antiquity, you would find that, you know, a statue of an idol statue of Aphrodite would get a lot of traffic. People would come from far and wide. They would even come and pay homage to it and worship it and sleep with the prostitutes in the temple. And, you know, it was like, you know, I mean, this was Las Vegas, on, you know, quote unquote, it was done under quote unquote religious, you know. But still, that was an attention economy, as you can imagine. And it was obvious, you know, in antiquity, the people who got the most attention were people like magicians, sorcerers, royalty, you know, mighty men, that sort of thing. And, you know, this whole, as I've already mentioned, temples of Ishtar, Inanna, Aphrodite, it's the same thing. But what are the genuine origins of the attention economy? Well, this is my humble submission to that question. My honest opinion, and after also my own careful analysis and due diligence in terms of historical contact, goes back to the land of China, where Nimrod and his people said, and, you know, let us build for ourselves a tower that reaches to the heavens. Now, pause for a second. I said, the attention economy goes back to Nimrod and the people in Babylon, when they built a tower that reaches to the heaven. automatically, you know, there were no skyscrapers back then. So by building this tower, as they said, that would reach to the heavens, that would grab everybody's attention of all the human beings who were, you know, alive on the earth. They would see it from far and wide and say, oh, let us go to Babylon. So Babylon set itself up through an architectural design whose intention was basically clickbait in nature, was basically to grab the people's hearts, the people's attention, and say, let us build Babylon, let us be a part of this, you know. And I'm pretty sure that at the top, or you know, of that tower, they were going to set up their pagan temples to, you know, I don't know if it was Inanna they were worshipping, Ishtar, or whatever the Babylonian gods they were worshipping. I'm sure that is what they would put at the very top, you know, and I'm sure that's where they would plan to have all these sexual rituals and that sort of thing between the king and the priestesses. I mean, these things happened in antiquity, and they happen today, maybe today under close cover, but I mean, it's pretty obvious. Even Madonna, in a lot of her art, she's playing that role of the harlot of Babylon. You know, Katy Perry is doing the same thing. Lady Gaga is doing. I mean, they're all playing that archetype. So I'm simply saying, going back to antiquity, building the Tower of Babel, that was the origin of the attention economy. And then Babylon became a kingdom, and you can see much later, you know, there were many different dynasties who succeeded as its rulers and kings. But when Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was now in power, he was saying on top of a building, look at this great Babylon that I have built by my mighty power and my mighty hand. And right then, when he was pointing to it, that achievement, look at this grand architectural design, and you know, we have built it, he was even admiring it and said, I've built it by my mighty hand and my mighty power. And as the words were still on his mouth, the Lord struck him with a judgment, and that judgment meant for 7 years he was literally like insane, like a wild animal, until he acknowledged that the Most High rules over everything. You know, then his sanity was brought back to him and his kingdom restored to him. And there were a succession of other kings, you know. So this Babylonian, as you might want to call it, architecture, is the rule, the origin of the attention economy, because the Babylonian architecture was built in a way to grab your attention, to make you look at it and say, wow, I want to live in Babylon, I want to be Babylonian, I want to worship Babylonian gods, I want, you know. And therefore it became the focus of their lives, of their hearts, their minds, their souls, their strength, everything was focused on Babylon. And another grand example of another architectural design in Babylon that was given a lot of attention, and those who refused to give it attention were to be burned in fire, to be thrown in the blazing flame, was when the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar again, built a statue in Dura, I think that was the name, in Babylon, and it was in gold. And so you can imagine, when you build a statue of such stature, it was a humongous statue, and he commanded that upon the sound of music, instruments, everyone was to bow down and worship it. I'm sure he built it in his own image. But that was an attention economy, a ritual, where now everyone was to do this. But we see that the Hebrew boys did not bow down to the statue, and they were thrown into the fire, and the Lord saved them. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, And even the king said, did we not throw three people into that fire? How come I see this another one, like a son of the gods? You know, and he asked them to come out, and they were not even burned because they trusted in the Lord their God. The reason they did not focus on doing that was because they understood this is idolatry, you know, because our attention must be focused on the Lord. So this has always been the conflict. The human conflict is that either you are focused on the Lord or you are focused on Babylon and its infrastructure, its rituals, its behaviors, its commerce. I mean, Babylon is an empire. An empire consists of social, economic, political, you know, issues and cultural issues, and all that grabs the attention of people, you know, away from focusing on the Lord. So the invention of that Tower of Babel, that Kingdom of Babel that was rearing its head and the Lord demolished it, that tower is the origin and the true origin of the attention economy. Now, I'm not saying that I have not been distracted by this Babylonian cultural things, and you know, like, I mean, there's a lot of, like I just mentioned to you, when things like Miley Cyrus puts the nipple out and on Instagram, and it's you know, I wasn't on Instagram, I was reading news, main news, and then this comes out as a news item. The same with Kim Kardashian. It's like, I don't want to be reading this. This is not news, but the news puts it there. You know, I'm now coming back to the highlights of the modern day economic attention economy, because now, because of the advent of the internet and the fact that people now have internet on their mobile devices, they can easily, you know, take a picture from whatever, Russia, Ukraine, whatever, America, Europe, Africa, China, and or a video, and that thing can go viral in a matter of minutes, you know. And this phenomenon of going viral now is at the tips of people's fingertips, you know. So now there's a competition of doing the most depraved and debased stuff just to draw attention, you know, the attention economy. I mean, we have seen some of these things sometimes, some of these protesters, like there was a rally of Bernie Sanders, and there was a woman there coming, you know, without her bra, and she was saying free the nipple, and she had paint all over her body and screaming a whole bunch of stuff and disrupting the political rally that Bernie Sanders was giving, you know. So we can see that nudity has always been used to grab attention and headlines. I mean, nudity, fashion, you know, and we know that I've mentioned this in the previous episodes, that even musicians, young musicians, females who are very talented, they still have to push and sell sex, you know, in their music, you know, just to appeal to that prurient interest, because that's what drives likes, that's what drives, you know, attention, that's what would drive the business, you know. I mean, why is it that even in normal advertising, you know, they're selling a toothbrush, but they have to put a naked woman at, you know, with brushing her teeth or whatever, you know, just to sell a toothbrush, you know. So I'm not saying that I have not tried this, you know. I mean, I'm probably guilty of the same things, but I'm simply saying I'm reflecting of, like, what is wrong with us? But then I realize whatever that thing is wrong with us is way deep in our DNA. I mean, and it goes back to the ancient world. As I mentioned, that the origins of the attention economy goes back to Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, and you can trace it all the way to today with the advent of the World Wide Web and this people can easily connect and share whatever it is. You know, like I mentioned, that Kim Kardashian is a classic example of, in fact, the Kardashian family is a classic example of a family that has, you know, made their money and fame and whatever by manipulating and taking advantage of the attention economy. You know, Paris Hilton maybe was a pioneer, but then Kim Kardashian overtook Paris. And interesting note, you find that both of them have sex tapes. So there was also this whole thing where you saw a lot of the celebrities, people say, oh, one has a sex tape, or a sex tape. And, you know, some people got famous for that reason. You know, what's her name? I can't remember her name right now, but a young lady who wants sex videos to be deleted from the internet, but now it's impossible to do that. But she got a lot of attention from those pornographic years and the news. I think ISIS wanted to kill her or something, or threatening her. And now she is regretting, you know, and saying, oh man. But of course, she has a huge platform. Thanks to what? To that same pornographic thing, you know. So this is what I'm saying, you know. Is it all about what is depraved, what is salacious, what is just appealing to the prurient interest? I mean, is that what it comes down to, what it amounts to at the end of the day, that the human being has a lust for the depraved, and whoever, you know, is willing to exhibit some form of exhibitionism, exhibit themselves in some capacity, you know, that is depraved in some way, however elegant or skillfully done, but still appealing to that same base, you know, depraved mindset of the human being, you know, gets the attention. It's very strange. But I just wanted to make my submission on record that I don't think the attention economy is a 21st century phenomenon. I don't think it's something that was from the 1800s. I think it's something that goes back into antiquity, not just back into, like, you know, BCE, whatever. But I'm talking going back to Nimrod, ancient Babylon, when they built, they let us build for us a statue. I mean, a tower. It was, that tower was an idol, you know. So they might as well have been building an idol, and that reaches to the heavens with that sort of thing. So that's my humble submission on the occult origins of the attention economy. This is Drumcon. See you in the next episode. Thank you.